Welcome to the Chaos Network.
Now you're all in big, big trouble.
What time is it?
We will throw out all kinds of sports topics.
The moment Delonte West banged LeBron's mom, LeBron had every right to do whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Political views.
If we get rid of abortion in the United States, what happens when Ben Roethlisberger is holding down some chick and gets her pregnant and she can't get rid of the baby?
Is that your best?
Just random rants and stuff.
Are you supposed to record podcasts sober?
I'm your huckleberry.
I do drugs all my life. My life will be shorter.
Hope Peyton Manning breaks his fucking arm.
So it's Oscar night, and for that, you know, Hollywood rolled down the red carpet as only Hollywood could do. Dressed to the nines, I believe, in a Colts jersey, as I would expect nothing less. I think that's what he's wearing. I have no idea. I can't really see past the beard. And he's ready to put on his best performance of the evening, because it's really just a show of two guys and Mike in sports. As Gov has been called into duty for other tasks, and I do mean D-O-O-D-Y, usually, when it comes to the fatherly duties that he has. So we're just going to roll with two guys and Mike, which... sometimes it's good to go old school, and I need some help from Hollywood, because in the studio, I guess is what we'll say, I'm deciding what to have on TV in front of me since the Oscars starts in a half hour, and I have three movie choices in front of me, Hollywood. What should I choose? Captain America, the First Avenger, Talladega Nights, or Anchorman?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Right?
It's funny because I just turned on Captain America.
But if you hit guide, and go up, you have the same three choices I do, because it's the
right.
Same.
But that's some tough movies. I mean, Anchorman is always a great movie.
I know.
Talladega Nights is a classic.
Right.
And, you know, if you're in the mood for a dude movie, Captain America is pretty cool to watch, too.
I mean, it's either Will Ferrell, or what, Chris Evans?
Yeah.
I think I have to choose Will Ferrell.
Yeah, I think Will Ferrell should win.
I can go with Will Ferrell and Steve Carell and be okay. All right, so how you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. You know, like you said, Oscars tonight should be fun and exciting. I, you know, it's always enjoyable to watch what the Hollywood stars, even Hollywood's pretty run down nowadays. Get up and get glamorous for my night. So I'm good with it. I had the weekend all to myself. The wife was in Vegas for a girls' weekend, so she's on her way home right now. She'll probably be here in the next hour or so.
But you're
excited. Kick back and talk to you for a little while, bro. I am excited to see her. I know she had a good time, so it's good for her to get out of the house for a weekend.
She bringing her winnings back?
God, I hope she fucking wants some money. She probably didn't even gamble.
How could you marry her then? I mean, I love her to death, but the thing about her is if she didn't gamble, you know, a few weeks are with us, like in some therapy of gambling, she'll be a champ with it and pick it right up. So
yeah, I think it's actually a blessing she doesn't overly gamble because, well, as we know, I'm a pretty terrible gambler.
She might be, you know, she's a big sports girl. She might be good at this whole sports betting thing.
She's good every once in a while. She'll hit me up and want to make a bet. So
yeah? All right. Well, that's good. That's better than most of them, that's for sure. So tonight, like we said, two guys and Mike at sports. We might as well have fun with it, enjoy where it first started, and kind of do our thing. So let's do a little bit of housekeeping.
Sounds good, bro. If anybody wants to give us a call tonight, they can hit us up, 646-378-0793. You know, give us your best picture nominee if you want to, 646-378-0793. Or hit us up on Twitter. You can interrupt Gov's duties by hitting him up at Governor_Baines. You can reach Chaos at FN Chaos. You can reach me at SOW Hollywood, and of course you can reach the show at Sports Letter R Way Blog. And just to sneak it in there for Snowflake, you can reach Snowflake at Kendall Scott.
All right.
646-378-0793.
So, look, it's a little known fact. I like that. That's the Cliff Clavin line. Love the Cliff Clavin line. Cheers was probably one of my favorite TV shows. Little known fact that you really do look forward to this night, though. This is like probably as much fun for you as, I don't know, opening day to, well, I don't know, maybe Major League Baseball All-Star Game, we'll say. How's that?
Definitely, yeah, definitely enjoy the old movies, and definitely enjoy the Academy Awards. So it'll be fun. It'll be exciting.
So because you had a little movie stint, right?
I did, and still technically do. I have been into feature movies that have been distributed. So.
And was this in the adult film industry?
It was not in the adult industry, although sometimes it makes you wonder, you know, if all else goes to the shit, I'll take a stab at porn.
Matt, you know, if you do it, buddy, so could you. All right. Let's get the Two Guys on Mike show started, buddy.
This is another public service announcement.
Did you just tell me that eating pussy is going to give me cancer?
Yep.
Oh, goodness!
God is going to be my DMAS.
But as they say in the U.S. Navy, there is no wrong hole.
No!
Getting a little strange on daytime TV.
You are Brokeback Jack.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Also DMAS.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
So, I kind of want to go along the lines of tonight of the DMAF just kind of being, we'll start in New Jersey. We'll start with police officers in New Jersey. It's more along the lines, though, of I want to talk about just kind of have a conversation with Hollywood about just how corrupt some of the people that we look up to for protection can be. When we put some of their trust in them, that they can go ahead and turn on that really quick. In New Jersey, in Bloomfield, I believe is actually what it was. Bloomfield, New Jersey, police officers, they were indicted after a cop car dashboard camera was showed them brutally beating an African-American man. And the kind of story behind it is it was pulled over for a traffic stop. Was the guy, what was his name? Last name was Jeter, not Derek. It was not Derek Jeter. What happened was they pulled him over. He put his hands up, and one cop actually came up to the side of his car, driver's side of the car, had his gun drawn. Another cop on the other side of the car came up and actually had a shotgun drawn. The guy's name who they pulled over was Marcus Jeter, actually. Both had him, pretty much pointed the guy's head. Another cop car drives up and kind of sideswipes his car to kind of make sure that he's pinned in and can't go anywhere. They bust out his back window. End up booking him on evasion. The whole time, again, the guy's got his hands up. He's not resisting at all. He's not doing anything wrong at all. He's literally just, I guess, wrong place, wrong time. Well, the cops submit their report saying that was pretty much all false, that he was evading them, he was fighting against the cops, he was unwillfully trying to come in, this actually starts going to court. There's a jury panel selected, district attorney and everybody is trying to get him to take a plea deal of 5 years in prison, and the whole time this guy's saying that he didn't do anything. And finally, and I don't know how it took so long, but it must show, like, the amount of cover-up that there must have been, is they finally got the dashboard camera from one of the squad vehicles to show exactly what happened, and that none of this was true. And they end up dropping all charges against this guy. But this took, I think, about a year and a half to go through the process before they actually figured out that this guy was actually telling the truth. And we used to kid Hollywood when we worked up at a store in an affluent neighborhood that we tell our African-American friends not to drive through there so they don't get their DWBs, you know, they're driving while blacks, because it truly would happen. It sounds exactly like what that was. And then in another instance, there was a report that came out today through the military that 558 military personnel, whether it be Army, Navy, mainly Army, Navy, it wasn't many in the Air Force or Marines, were let go because of rape, because of child abuse, because of drunken disorderlies. I guess the thing about it is previously it had been reported that there was only 58 of these that there were. Instead, they dug a little bit more and finally, you know, let out all the information. and let go 558 of our troops, which, you know, whatever. There's no real DMAF there. It's just that, again, the cover-up. I can't imagine the type of stress and pressure and things that our military face. And I'm not making an excuse for what they do or what they did or anything like that. But, you know, it's you can see why there's probably more of a cover-up there than anywhere else. But lastly, and definitely not least, there was a 12-year-old boy who was running late to go to school, and he grabs a Coke, or what he believes is a Coke, out of the refrigerator, throws it in his backpack because he knows he'll want it later. I'm sorry. This happened about 4 days ago. So the kid is at school. And he goes to reach into his bag, and he realizes that it's a Coors Light, and it's not a Coca-Cola. And he freaks out. He doesn't know what to do. He knows he'll get in trouble if it's there. And this was actually all over ABC News. I'm trying to find the kid's name. I had it in front of me a second ago, but flipping between stories, I apologize. I lost exactly where it was at. So he doesn't know what to do. So instead, he does probably the responsible thing. He could have just, you know, maybe he should have just thrown it away and not worried about it, but he gave it to his teacher, thinking that it wouldn't get him in trouble, and told the teacher what happened. And what the teacher did is the teacher immediately took it up to the principal, and they ended up suspending the kid for 3 days, and then they put him in an alternate learning facility for the next 2 months. So he pretty much gets in trouble. And one picture they show, like, a Diet Coke can, what it looks like, and what a Coors Light can look like, can be kind of similar. The kid just kind of trusted the teacher, and instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt, they turn around and they just kind of, you know, give it to them. It's kind of messed up. So I just wanted to, sometimes, you know, for the most part, there is always good out there, but you just kind of got to be cautious and see what the fuck else is out there. Cause some people, I mean, they're so quick to cover up and screw you over that you don't even know what the fuck. So for that, the people who always, you know, don't take care of the motherfuckers, they're the DMAFs.
Yeah, that Coors Light Diet Coke thing, like, I could see in a hurry grabbing the wrong one.
Do you see the picture of the side-by-side on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah, just at a quick glance, for sure.
I mean, you know, you see silver and then you see red. And
yeah.
If you're in a hurry, you're going to grab whatever's right there.
You know, you remember those days of running late for the bus, right?
Fuck yeah, shit. I remember having to run to school because I missed the bus.
Oh, that was in Texas, by the way. Sorry.
The New Jersey cop thing, it's good that, you know, they're getting it taken care of, because that's fucked up. You know, certain officers take it too far, and I think that's a clear example of individuals who have an issue, you know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, just imagine, if we say this all the time, we talk about this a lot, to where there's a lot of unjusts, and we go off and we yell and we scream just because that's what we do. But, like, I hear these stories, and it really starts to get me upset when I think of, you know, what if that was you? You know, what if that was Mike? What if that happened to Hollywood, or if that happened to Gov, or that happened to Snowflake? I mean, how just, like, incensed would that be? Would I be? And I think because sometimes when it doesn't happen to us, we don't quite have the same emotion about it. But Jesus, if that happened to one of you guys, or I'm sure obviously if it happened to me, you guys would do the same thing. We'd all go batshit fucking crazy.
Yeah, it definitely makes you think about it. And then you think about the next time you get pulled over, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck's going to happen?
You know, we probably led some checkered past. I can remember being younger, hanging out with nowadays, or back then, definitely the wrong group, sitting in the back seat of a car. We got pulled over, and I was sitting there just totally minding my business, and somehow I ended up getting pulled out of the car, handcuffed, and I was in the passenger's back passenger side, and, you know, it can be wrong place, wrong time at any moment. And I didn't do anything wrong. And they were drug running and doing all this other shit, but I didn't even do anything wrong. They just happened to grab the wrong guy out of the car, but guilty by association, I guess.
Yeah, it's crazy shit, man. Always rush to judge, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So, I don't know, I just wanted to share, hopefully get that out there. Just be careful. Always watch your back and your front if you can.
Always watch your front.
Bro, what month is it?
It's funny because as I said, always watch your front. It also made me think of the fact that it's Boob Awareness Month. So you can also always watch her front. We share because we care. So, you know, as usual, here, two guys and Mike in sports. It's brought to you by no one.
I love you, dude. So agenda tonight brought to you by Hollywood himself, which is awesome. So let's talk a little bit of football. We love talking some football, and we'll talk Johnny football. And I didn't know this until you sent it out. Which is great. Which is I'm glad that you did the agenda tonight, or I wouldn't know what's going on. So Gruden, who every year pretty much becomes the quarterback interviewer guy mantra, but he's saying that he wants Johnny Manziel on his team. You're not a fan of him, though, are you?
Well, you know, I'm not. I think he needed to stay in school and grow up a little bit. I think he's going to struggle. And I watched the interview snip that they had of the Gruden interview with Manziel. And, you know, it came up where Gruden asked him, hey, are you going to be a distraction for your ball club? And, you know, Manziel said, no, I put myself in the wrong position. And he had the mature answer. But, you know, he's still, what, 21 years old, 22
sure.
years old.
Sure.
And, you know, he's going to get this big contract and endorsements to you know, go be the superstar athlete, and he's probably going to get in trouble. What's interesting is we just went through the combine in Indianapolis down there with you these last couple weeks, and
right.
obviously all these athletes are getting into the process of being interviewed and tested and graded for the upcoming draft in April, and Manziel is falling on a lot of people's charts. There's reports now that he could drop all the way to Minnesota's pick, I think, which is 8th. And I find that fascinating. So that ponders the question, who do you think could use the Manziel quarterback?
Well, I mean, so who are we saying is the number one quarterback off the board? Bridgewater?
Well, I don't know. That's also up for, you know, discussion. But ultimately, I think if you're running a franchise and you're the top, you know, we'll go to Minnesota, top 8 picks.
Right.
Do you take Manziel if you need a quarterback? Where do you think he'd fit the best?
You know, it's so hard to say that. And the only reason the reason I say it's so hard for that is because they're going to be so gun-shy. They're not. I can't see them taking Manziel. And the reason why is I think it's a reach, right? I think we'll all say it's a little bit of a reach that high. Minnesota recently fucked this up with Christian Ponder. They took him too high, almost in the same spot. It might have been like 12 is what he might have been taken out of Ponder. I don't think they're going to make that same mistake. I mean, they just had, I think, the number two or three overall pick last year, it may have been 4, and took a offensive lineman Khalil from USC out of it. He ends up being a Pro Bowler, and they got that one right. And they need a quarterback. I would think that they would if it's, let's just say if it's Manziel or a top O or D lineman, they'll go with a top O or D lineman and take their chances in the second round, and probably get the same type of quarterback. Or caliber, we'll say, in the second round than you would at Manziel at 8.
Or 3, I'm sorry.
So who do you think is the best quarterback on the board?
I think Bridgewater is.
Yeah. I think he's definitely the most NFL-ready quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I like how he – I don't know. We say this all the time. I like how he carries himself. I like – you know, he's got a cannon, and he's got accuracy, and he's got wheels.
Yeah. I think if I'm the Houston Texans and I've got the number one overall pick, I'm taking a quarterback.
I don't think there's any doubt, unless you trade it. I mean, unless you trade that pick. If you have to draft, you draft a quarterback.
They're a good quarterback away from being contenders for that division. I mean, Indianapolis is the only other team, talent-wise, you know. When you
look in that division?
Tennessee and Jacksonville. And I think Houston's defense is good enough. So if they can just get a quarterback that can do, you know, even a better than average job, I think they'll be okay.
I wouldn't sleep, and I'm not saying you really are, but I wouldn't really sleep on Tennessee. Yeah, I wouldn't sleep on them. I mean, you're right in saying, I mean, obviously the talent is in those two main teams, in my opinion. And I shouldn't say obviously, because it's not like the Texans finished last in the league last year. So I guess I don't know. I guess I shouldn't say that. But there's too much talent on that damn roster for them to finish where they were.
Yeah, the problem with Tennessee is they have to figure out their quarterback situation. They've got to make a decision on who's going to be their quarterback.
Well, I mean, you have an old guy and you have a guy that gets injured all the time.
Exactly. You know, there's a name that came up that I haven't seen yet in any, I don't know how many of the draft reports you've been reading, but Derek Carr, who is the younger brother of David Carr.
NC State too, right?
I think he's, I don't remember where what college he came out of, but he is climbing the ladder. There are people saying that they'd take him over Johnny Manziel.
Really?
Yep.
You know, it's funny. If you look at the NFL, a lot of the better quarterbacks are coming out of smaller schools, like NC State, not like the USCs and things like that. So, or, you know, Bama. So, you know, I guess I could see a little bit of validity there, that's for sure. But, I mean, let me ask you this. Okay, what would you do if you're the Texans? Let's just go back to that for a second. If you're the Texans, what would you do with your ideal situation? What would it be?
I would draft Bridgewater. Like, that's, I've got the number one pick. I need a quarterback, and I need a quarterback who can play now. I think Bridgewater is the answer to that.
All right, let me throw.
It's either that or trade the pick for.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have that on the table with you, too.
Yeah, but I don't know. It would really depend on the value of the trade, because you're giving up the number one overall pick. What's that worth?
Well, you tell me. You're the GM.
Is it worth your number one and your number two picks? Maybe. Maybe I drop down to your number one and I take your number two.
Well,
I think maybe then I would, because the depth there at quarterback, you're going to have enough names lower on the number one pick. Maybe that happens. Maybe I flip-flop, you know, my first round and I take your second.
Okay, but okay. Let me try to say it, or put it to you this way. What would you do in any scenario? Okay, so you're saying, let me just. All right, fuck it. I'll tell you what I would attempt to do. If I'm the Houston Texans, I get on the phone to Washington and say, all right, I'll give you the first overall pick for Kirk Cousins, and your third round pick, or fourth round pick.
Have you seen enough of Kirk Cousins to make that deal?
Would you take Kirk Cousins over Bridgewater?
I don't know. I think athletically, Bridgewater is the better physical athlete.
Yeah. I think I would do that deal because I've seen Cousins in an NFL game, and I've seen he's good. I mean, I'm not saying he's great. I'm just saying that of what's available, I would go after him.
My problem with Cousins is there hasn't been enough tape. I get it. He's looked good when he was playing in Washington, but to see him as an every game starter for an extended period of time, you know, think about what happened with Matt Flynn in Green Bay.
Right.
That kid played one game. Granted, he threw seven touchdowns, but he played one game and he went and got this mega contract. And now nobody even knows where Matt Flynn is.
Yeah. Well, just also think though that, yeah, that's true. He's, Green Bay, and he did pretty good in his backup, but that's all he ends up doing. I guess, you know, think of your Jamarcus Russells too, though. I mean, for every chance you take, you have that on the other side of how he might end up. You know, and now let's see. You know, there's a lot, I guess, of possible movement that can happen in this. I know that Atlanta's trying to trade up to get get Clowney, so. I don't know what type of package they could offer, but, you know, it'll be fun to see what happens in this NFL draft. But if I was Houston, it's either draft a quarterback or trade for a quarterback.
Yeah, I kind of like where you're going, but I don't know if Cousins is enough for me.
Well, then who would be?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know who's available that I would try to go after. that's a great number two. Maybe I'd call Arizona and ask for the MVP.
That would be a – you know what? I like where your head's at. I like where your head's at. And let's just say, though, that if I'm Washington and I get a call from Houston saying, hey, we'll give you Kirk Cousins – or we'll give you the number one pick for Kirk Cousins, and let's say – we'll just go with the fifth round pick or sixth, whatever. Who cares? Late round pick. If I'm the Redskins, I might answer by saying, no, but we'll give you the RG3 for that.
Yeah, no kidding. I think if Houston does a job like that, I think the opposing team is stupid not to take that deal.
Right.
So let me flip it on you then. Who do you think Washington would take if they had the number one overall pick? Do they take Clowney?
No. Yeah, I think they take Clowney. Yeah. Yeah, because I think their offense is good enough. I mean, they got a great running back. They have a better quarterback on their roster than will probably be picked in the top few quarterbacks. You know, you got to shore up that defense somehow. So, and I think the best defensive player on the board is Clowney.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think he did. I think his 40 time made people realize how much of a freak that dude is.
Yeah, when he's out running the quarterback, that's impressive.
That is impressive as hell, dude. So, I don't know. So, it'll be fun to see. That's for sure. And when is the draft, you know?
I think it's the second week of April.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, so.
All right, cool. So, good. That went in some good directions. I'm not going to lie. So, they're talking about, like, I'm an NBA guy. And we watched some NBA this afternoon, got burned on a couple of plays. I missed the over. You pushed on it for Golden State. You know what would happen, though? If we would have hit the over if there was a four-point shot.
Oh, I know. That's true. Nicely done, by the way. I didn't see you taking it that direction.
We totally would have hit the over if there was a four-point shot.
I probably also would have thrown something at every TV that I own if there was a four-point shot. Every time some idiot shot from there.
So they're talking about putting that in. The new commissioner is taking requests, I guess. They're thinking about that. They're thinking about extending the All-Star break, you know, at the request of not just LeBron, but a few other players. And the NBA is also urging LeBron to change the mascot from the one he's wearing to a regular, you know, plastic clear mask.
You know, I saw an interview on that, and I'm reading a little between the lines, but what it sounds like they said is there's an advantage not being able to see your face.
There's a what?
There's an advantage that he had because the opposing team didn't have a clear face.
Huh.
They were saying that he might be having an unfair advantage.
I'm calling bullshit on that. I mean, I'm not calling bullshit that you heard it, because I'm sure you heard it, obviously. But I'm calling bullshit on that philosophy. There's no way. I mean, you could look at Ty Corbin, one of the ugliest players in the NBA, and nobody wanted to look at his face, and they still checked him out. So I'm not, you know, they still checked him up, I should say. I think that's garbage. I think that's total garbage. I think it's the fact that it's different. It probably doesn't look aesthetically pleasing. It does, you know, nor does the other one. And they're trying to, you know, cover their own asses by getting them to wear, you know, the regular mask that everyone else always wears.
Yeah, I think this is kind of a power check where they're saying, hey, LeBron, like, you still got to follow the rules type of thing.
Yeah.
What do you think of this new commissioner, man? Do you think we need a four-point play? Do you think that the All-Star break should be extended? Do you think that there should be more of a single elimination play-in for the playoffs?
I think the great thing about college is its tournament. And the fact that on one night, Davidson can upset Kansas, we'll say, you know, just an off team to a great team. But in the NBA, the nice thing about it is the better team is going to win in a 7-game series or 5-game series or what have you. And I think you got to separate the two. I think you still have instances where 8 seeds get to the NBA Finals, and you know you'll have your 12 seeds possibly get to a Final Four, or Butler's instance. You know, I think they were a 9 seed when they made it to the championship game. I think you need to keep it exactly like it is. I mean, what would the NBA do anyway? I mean, let's just say hypothetically they decide, all right, this is a good idea. We'll go to one and dones, and it'll be exciting and all that. Do they go from an 82-game season to a 100-game season? Because, you know, the playoffs take forever.
Yeah, I tried to be forward-thinking about it, right? So I had a realization today. There's a reason why I love baseball so much. And it's because the game's played today as it was played 60 years ago, more or less. And I find myself, as I start to hear these reports about updates to the game of the NBA, and I'm becoming that angry old man who doesn't think it needs to change because it's just fine the way it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? To the most part. When I think about a 4-point basket, there used to be those charity celebrity tournaments. And
yeah,
I don't remember. In the 90s. And there was a 4-point bucket or a 5-point bucket or whatever it was. And you remember they put, like, the different stars on the court, and if you shot from there, then it was worth points and all that. Like, it was such a circus act, and I hated it. And my fear would be that the NBA would start turning into that. And then they take it next level. I heard a report today that they want to work on a way to become strategic with the D-League and funnel in high schoolers that don't want to go to college just into the D-League and literally generate like a minor league NBA, kind of like Major League Baseball does. That's also on the docket. And then, you know, then that takes away from college because those kids can go and just get paid. And it's very interesting, you know, as we change commissioners, what's going to happen here.
I think the only thing that makes sense to me, really, is making the court wider. So that makes sense to me. The rest I don't make any damn sense to me. And the players, you know, they're bigger, they're faster, all that stuff. So mine's gonna make it a little bit wider, so everyone has a little bit more room to roam. It'll open up the lane a little bit better, make things a little bit better that way. But I don't think you're turning that old man who doesn't want things to change. I think there's no reason for it to change. The 3-point shot, I don't know if they took it away. They remember when they brought it in, I guess, is what they did?
Yeah.
And people just, they're just, I mean, centers were firing up threes like they're going out of style. And then they definitely moved it out to where it's supposed to be. But I would even consider widening the court and extending the 3-point shot a little bit more.
Well, I mean, you know, that, the question becomes, you know, if you're willing to move the distance of the 3-point shot back, you wonder if that's what promotes the idea to maybe make it a 4-point shot because the percentages go down, you know, and it gets it's a more high risk shot.
Sure, it makes it. I mean, more 3-pointers are taken now too by more, I guess, different positions than they were 15 years ago or whatever when it was, you know.
Right.
When it was Magic and Bird and stuff. Everyone's shooting them now. So it might make it a little bit more challenging, but I don't think you need a 4-point shot. Scores are already high enough, to be honest.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, the only reason you want a 4-point shot is if you were trying to make games higher scoring.
Yeah, I mean,
that's definitely not something the NBA needs to worry about.
Yeah, or to hit an over like we needed.
Yeah, no shit. Needed a 4-point shot today. A couple
so,
different times.
Yeah, no doubt, right? I don't know that he's doing a good job. I think I'll give him this. I mean, at least he's opening to listening to new ideas and possibly looking at other things to make the game maybe better, maybe different. You know, who knows? But at least he's willing to put stuff out there and see what will work stick. But I definitely don't like the format of doing it like the NCAA tourney.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to see the Milwaukee Bucks playing and for some reason getting the upset win over, like, the Heat or the Pacers.
Right.
And then they're fucking moving on, and one of the two best teams in the NBA is not playing for a championship.
Look, dude, and let's take it to the level where you and I, like, you and I, some of my best, like, March Madness memories are with you. When we would go to Fox and the Hound at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning or BW3s. Gov and I did the same thing one year when Fox and the Hound Carmel first opened. We'd go and we'd sit and all day long. And then 1 o'clock in the morning, it might be, we're sitting there yelling Bradford at every underdog team we possibly could. And we're watching, I want to say, I don't know, it was Bradford, whoever Bradford was, and I think Ohio State.
Well, what's funny is the team was Bradford.
Was it Bradford? And that's how it
yeah.
became Bradford, right?
And Ohio State was a triple overtime first night game.
Yeah.
And it was I remember, too, because the game before it went into overtime. So it got pushed back that tip-off wasn't until, like, 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then it went into three overtimes. And I think Ohio State won on, like, a last-second three or something. And we were cheering at that time. We were cheering for the underdog to just beat Ohio State, I think.
Yeah.
Because the game was so close, we'd probably lost our bets by then.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I feel like the trend became cheering for the underdog at that point. Because
yeah,
then the next day, we were right back in the same seats, cheering for every underdog, calling them Bradford.
Yeah. And it's that's one of the, I don't know, I truly think that's, when I think of, because like there's a lot. I mean, like, and I think that'll be replaced as one of the top, well, it'll always be one of the tops, but when we all go to Vegas and they're sitting there doing it in the sports book, that's when it'll probably be somewhat replaced. But
yeah, I remember too, man, this was 4 or 5 years ago, you and I went to the championship game the year that Butler made it, and we were sitting on the side where the basketball court, or behind the hoop, and we saw that three-point game buzzer shot that almost went in.
We were right in line with that, too, which was great. I mean, we saw Hayward release that. I mean, we both saw how straight that shit was. And, I mean, we can say it all the time. If that would have gone in, we would have been at the best national championship game ever.
Oh, for sure. Unbelievable game. Unbelievable time, man. Good. So let me ask you this. When you think about your recent years, like, what do you think the best game in recent years has been in the tourney?
Oh, man. In recent years, I guess the one that I'm going to go to is the the Bradford-Ohio State game that we were just talking about. In my mind, just because we were watching the game. We'd been there all day long, and, like, it was literally after 13 or 14 hours of being at the bar. I think I left because I had to get a new phone or something like that.
Yeah,
and came back
yeah.
with a new phone. And we were just as pumped, if not more pumped at that point than we were when we first walked in for the day. You know? And there's great, like, games that you can think of. Kentucky Duke with Mel Mashburn and Christian Laettner. I mean, and that wasn't even – that was a Final Four game. That's awesome, but – well, I don't know. That was just a fun day, a fun night, and that was an awesome game that Bradford won.
Yeah, that's definitely on the top of my list. I'll tell you, there's another – I don't remember what season it was, but the run that George Mason made when they beat, like, North Carolina and Duke in back-to-back weeks and got to the Final Four, I thought that was a pretty memorable tournament for me. I don't know, that was 2006 maybe. But I just thought that was really cool because when you think about that underdog, it wasn't a one-game thing. Like, they beat top talented teams in back-to-back-to-back weeks and went to the Final Four. So,
and that's kind of, I guess that's kind of how I felt about Butler's run a couple of years ago. You know, their first run, I mean, they were nobody. I mean, they were a mid-major. Nobody had them making it as far as they did. I talked to my boss. Is actually on the board for Butler, and I asked him because we were talking about it, because we were driving around and we always talk Butler basketball, and he said, you know, I had them getting to the Sweet 16. I didn't have them getting that far. So that's a Butler board member has them getting to the Sweet 16. No one else probably had them making out of the first round or at least the round of 32.
Yeah, Butler, Brad Stevens, he proved to be a really good college coach.
Yeah,
he did some good stuff with that program before he left.
And that's got to be why he's still, why Boston wanted him so bad is because they knew that he'd be pretty much coaching college players at Boston.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Hopefully he'll have a good career at the NBA level.
All right, so here we go. We have – let me see. Let me get there for you. Sorry, I got something for you. So George Mason, an 11 seed. The first round they beat Michigan State, that was a 6 seed. Then they played the 3 seed in the second round, so the round of 32. They beat the 3 seed 65-60. That was North Carolina. And then, ironically, this is kind of ironic to how this year is, George Mason plays the 7 seed, beats them 63-55, which was Wichita State. And then in their regional final, George Mason, the 11 seed, beats Connecticut, the 1 seed, 86-84. So they make the Final Four. And let me see if I can find. Sorry, I'm not finding where the fun. It stops at the regionals, but doesn't get to.
Listen to that, though. Michigan State, North Carolina, Connecticut. Like, those three teams, massive teams.
Oh, yeah.
And the 11 went in there and beat them. Like, what a great, great run. Probably a Cinderella story.
Probably an underdog in every game.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
And actually, I think they lost to UCLA in the Final Four. Let me see. I'll look it up while we do that. But the other reason I don't want to see the NBA do it is because I don't want them to take away from what college has. It's one of the things that makes college the march so great about them is this is the only time you'll see anything like this.
No, I totally agree. I'm one of those grouchy guys when it comes to the one-and-done rule, where I think that college players should stay in for at least 3 years. And imagine if the D-League move, would take away from the tournament because
right.
A lot of those kids forego college are just going to the D-League. And the article that I was reading, Silver said that he understood that he had to look out. The NBA needed to look out for the NCAA. I think he's doing the exact opposite when he talks about these types of ideas.
Oh, I think it's a horrible move for him. There's nothing good that can come from that. That's for sure. What was it last year? Right? No. Was it 2 years ago? Connecticut won it with Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
I think they were eighth in the Big East, and the only reason they got into the tournament is because they won the Big East championship.
They beat Syracuse. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they get in, and they're on fire. So they go back through, and they end up. I think they beat Butler in the national championship game, but that was Butler's second year. The year after they played Duke.
Where is Kemba Walker now, you might ask?
Where is Kemba Walker now?
He's riding the bench.
Is he?
Yeah, I don't remember if he's Orlando or not. I think he's down south, though.
So George Mason lost to either Florida or UCLA. I can't figure out who. But it was Florida UCLA National Championship, and that was the year Florida went back-to-back.
Nice. Watch out. Florida's going to be tough this year.
Led by Joakim Noah.
Oh, fucking, he's terrible. He's got the
not
ugliest
terrible.
Shot. He's got the ugliest shot. I know, man. I hated him at Florida just because I thought he was arrogant as shit. And, he's grown on me a little bit because of how tough that he plays. But he's got the ugliest jump shot in the world.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Look, there's no doubt about it. He's not, but Jesus, dude, I'll take him on my team anytime for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And that dude was, I was impressed. Definitely impressed.
Chicago, man.
Florida.
Chicago's been impressive. We'll beat New York up today, and they're probably going to end up being the number 3 seed in the East.
How good did DJ Augustine look today?
That kid, I'll tell you, he's played on enough teams now that I think he's starting to learn how to play the game. He is coming along. He is starting to look really good.
I mean, he was. I know it was a lot of it was garbage time, but hell, whatever. It was good time for him, and he got in there and he lit it up.
Yeah, well, and remember, he played for Chicago before, and then he was in Indy for a while, and now he's back.
I didn't know he played for Chicago. I didn't.
He went from Chicago to Indy, and then when Indy let him go, he got picked back up from by Chicago.
Well, they should give him Derrick Rose's contract.
I'm telling you. I don't know about that, but
I'm just kidding, dude. I'm just kidding about that. He'd earn it more than Rose would. But we were talking last week. There's your Nate Robinson, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
That's the.
Although, you know, Denver, he blew out his ACL, so.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I just found out about that.
Well.
Hey, I don't want to get too far away from NCAA. I want to ask you one thing. What do you think about Wichita State? 31-0. Do you think they deserve the number one overall seed?
No.
I think they're a three or a four seed. I would say at highest. Let me answer your question right. Do they deserve it? I would give it to them. I think they deserve it, but I just think that the selection committee will give them only a three or a four seed because they still don't give a lot of respect to mid majors.
Well, who did Wichita State beat this year? So, like, because I disagree. I don't think they deserve it. I think that if you, you pull the RPI rankings and you look at strength of schedule, Wichita State is not that impressive.
Well, they won. They haven't lost all year. That's. I mean, they didn't have an off night. You know, Syracuse pretty much almost lost four in a row, and they're getting more love.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just don't think that they deserve the number one overall seed. When you think about, the quality wins.
Change what you're saying just a little bit. I agree they don't deserve the number one overall seed, but do they deserve a number one seed?
Oh, I'll give you that. I think they do deserve a number one seed.
Yeah.
I do agree.
That's what I was going with. I think they deserve a number one. I agree. They don't agree. The number one overall, no way. But okay. A one seed, I would give it to them, but they're mid-major. And unfortunately, they won't get it. And that's too bad. Because even in Butler's years when, you know, they did well, they were, I think the highest they were was a five seed.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And that was even their second year in the tournament, even though they did start off a little weak, but they still – whatever. It's just too bad. That's all. It's too bad.
Good for them, though, you know.
Yeah. I mean, think about it, dude. How long have we watched college basketball? We've never seen this before.
No, we haven't. The last time a team went undefeated was in the 70s with the Hoosiers.
I mean, they
– Was that 74, 76?
I think it was – well, that was Indiana State, right? So – That was it. Wasn't Indiana? It was Indiana State, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So it wasn't the who are the Racers? Isn't that what they are?
Fuck, I don't remember.
So it's Larry Bird's alma mater, not Isaiah Thomas's, and I think it's the Racers, which is the dumbest thing ever. And I think it was 76. I'm not positive, but I think it was 76. But either way, I mean, it's cool that it happened, that we get to see it. I mean, really, I don't think we've talked about. It's amazing. They didn't have a night off. They didn't, you know, they went out and they took care of their fucking business.
Yeah, and, I'm curious to see how they do in the tournament. Part of me thinks that they'll be, you know, one and done.
Because
they're going to have to lose eventually.
They're going to have to.
And it's going to happen in the tournament.
But don't we have a bet out there? What's the bet that we have?
You mean for the tourney?
No, Wichita State bet. Don't we have a Wichita State bet out there?
Yeah. Gov says that they won't make the Elite Eight, and you said that they do.
Okay, all right. You didn't get in on that?
No, I stayed out of it.
Okay.
I did get Gov and I have the bet that Kansas is not going to be out in the second round.
Okay. They won't be out in the second. Gov's crazy.
I think so. They're not a one-and-done team.
Again, they come from a big conference. They have a high RPI. They have a lot of good things going for them. They'll get a high seed. So they'll play against, you know, pretty inferior opponents, I guess.
And what, they're going to bet best if they get a number one or number two seed, they're going to play, what, a nine, an eight? And it's the game?
Oh, in the second round? Yeah, exactly. They'll play a nine or eight in the second round. And by the way, I finally found it. George Mason lost to Florida in the final.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, I'm ridiculous. But, yeah, I have a feeling the team that's going to win this tournament is one we haven't even talked about yet. And I don't know who it is. I can't say, but it'll be it might be Bradford.
Go Bradford.
Go Bradford, indeed. All right. The list has eluded me. I forget what's next, my man.
That covers the list, brother.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we crushed the list. But so when you're watching – I don't know. Sunday's always the best day for sports, whether it's football or, like today, there were some decent college basketball games on, good NBA games going on. When you watch the college basketball games today, is there a team that you're looking out there and going, you know, they just might sneak up and get somebody?
That's a tough one to answer because I think the first team that comes to mind when you ask me that is Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Why
is coming home tonight?
I'm not, but I will tell you this. So I watched her play Penn State today, and, you know, when you look at the quality of wins the Badgers have had this year on the road, you're talking, you know, some impressive victories. They beat Florida, they beat Iowa. I mean, they've beat some good teams this year. And I know a lot of people are saying that when you say sneak up, I don't want it to sound like I'm saying no one's talked about them all year because I get that they've had some attention. I mean, shit, they're a top 15 ranked team. But I think they could be a team. The more I watch them play, the more I think they have what it takes to be the team that goes all the way.
All right. I mean,
I'll probably look at the odds to see what that is because I might bet it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the fun part is if you can kind of, you know, where your bracket ends up being, how your bracket ends up looking, is usually indicative on what long shots you think might go ahead and just kind of make their way through. I guess, like...
What about you?
That's kind of what I was starting to think. Like, I don't know, I guess as rankings stand right now, a team that I don't want to count out, it's the 17th ranked in the country right now, is Kentucky. They played a strong strength of schedule. They have a great, you know, a coach that knows how to manage an attorney. So, you know, I'd say a sleeper team would be along those lines. Another team that I don't even think is in the top 25, and they have hits, they have misses, and, you know, and yes, I'm a homer, but watch out for UCLA. They'll have some wins. They'll have some damage in the tourney.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I think, you know, they've kind of flown under the radar this year, but they've got some good quality play.
I mean, they have, again, hard strength of schedule, so they're not playing a bunch of chumps. I know it's a little overinflated because I don't think Arizona is, you know, as strong as you know, they're a two-loss team, but I don't know that they're crazy strong about it. I mean, let's be honest. If Arizona's playing Syracuse today, who do you take?
I don't know. Syracuse scares the shit out of me right now. I mean, I think I still pick Syracuse, but
I might too. But I'm not, and I don't have a lot of faith in Syracuse, but I still might. But that just also shows maybe what we think of Arizona.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know. It's nice to see that March. It's March 1st. Or March 2nd, I should say.
Yep.
Well, shit, bro. I think we crushed all this. You want to do your news?
Absolutely.
All right, buddy.
I'm a god. And football players pretend they live in a box.
I'm just saying it right now. Peyton Manning looks fucking good.
Oh, goody!
One's using, maybe one was using, and now he's not. Perturbed and frustrated.
You can accept it.
Can I argue and complain about whoever the fuck dresses Craig Seeger?
JoJo, the idiot circus boy.
Good news, bro. Really good news.
I like it.
Stupid news is from Florida.
Brought to you by
Florida.
Oh, Florida. Okay. It really is. Love Florida for stupid news.
Yeah. So I had two that came from Florida that made it to the finals. One was about a guy who got mad at his girlfriend, so he drove her car into a river and sank it. But I went with a different one. I wanted to, you know, in light of Gov being absent from us tonight for you know, duties, I felt that this would be a story I could, you know, kind of shoot his way, and hopefully he'll hear this and get a chuckle. And I read, mother, 53, arrested for battering daughter, age 25, with a used diaper. A Florida woman was arrested for battery after striking her 25-year-old daughter in the face with a used diaper. Police report that victim Jessica Caldwell returned Monday to her Bradenton home and discovered, her, quote, her mother became intoxicated while caring for her 2-year-old daughter. The verbal argument allegedly turned physical when Christine O'Keefe, aged 53, threw a used diaper at the victim, striking her in the face. During the subsequent mother-daughter scuffle, Caldwell struck her mother in the right brow. O'Keefe, however, was the only one arrested for misdemeanor battery. Seen in the adjacent mugshot, O'Keefe was released from jail Tuesday after posting a $1,000 bond. She is scheduled for a March 27th circuit court arraignment. You got to pull up this chick's face, dude, because her mugshot, she's grinning from ear to ear. So, Gov, if you and the wife get into a dispute, don't use a used diaper. You'll get arrested for battery.
So, like, really, who? I mean, there's a lot wrong with number one. It's in Florida. Who calls the cops and say, my mom beat me with a used diaper?
I know, right? How do you think that call goes? Is the is the operator laughing as she says, okay?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that Austin Powers line. Honestly, who throws a shoe? Honestly, who throws a diaper?
I mean, like, it's true. I mean, totally. It's like, I see the mugshot. She looks creepy as shit, too.
Yeah.
She looks like Chucky's, like, girlfriend, you know, the doll.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible. Not just that, but then, you know, it just shows again what type of class of people you have down there in Florida whose mother is watching her grandchild, taking care of her grandchild, and gets too drunk to go ahead and totally belligerent. What a dumb shit.
Yeah. Florida once again proving that they're not good for anything.
Do you just subscribe to, like, the Florida Sun Sentinel?
No, bro. I know it's hard to believe, but I truly don't go looking for Florida stupid news. It finds me. It absolutely finds me.
So I think I don't know if I'm on the same page that you're on where you got your news, but I'm looking at, like, related articles. And on the far right it says, a woman busted for attacking live-in boyfriend when he refused to cuddle in bed. I have to send that one to my girlfriend. She'll appreciate that. Good news, bro. Good news. Let's do a final thought.
Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout out to my pops. Tomorrow's his birthday, and you know, obviously we don't record on Monday, so I thought I'd take tonight and just give him a little shout out and say I love you and happy birthday, old man.
Amazing. We don't plan this out at all. Happy birthday, Pops, by the way. My final thought is, so let's talk about cancer for a second. Just not the most popular subject in the world. But I would say the number one cancer foundation that people know about and donate to is Susan G. Komen. You know, you see the pink everywhere, you know, and NFL players in October wear pink socks, wear, you know, whatever they can on the field, or, you know, all athletes to support, you know, breast cancer or cancer survivors and people they've lost to cancer. And, you know, everybody in their life has, you know, had some sort of run-in one way or another with cancer. You know, somebody has touched them. But with Susan G. Komen, she's that's one of the biggest foundations. So just want to make sure, if you ever decide to donate to cancer, just look up who you're donating to. It's easy to donate to the big ones. For every dollar that you donate to Susan G. Komen, 84 cents actually goes to cancer research. supposedly goes to cancer research. Then there's a lot of other lawyers' fees that it goes to because they take time to sue people who put for the cure at the end of their mantras or whatever because they want to make sure that it's only associated with Susan G. Komen, which seems like a meaningless fight. If you're doing something for the cure, you might as well do anything for the cure. And then there's certain things that kind of disturb me about her foundation that you'll see there's actually handguns out there where the top is pink because it's endorsed by Susan G. Komen. There is soft drinks and sugars that they support, which the sad thing about it that people don't realize is for every piece of sugar intake that you have into your system, it actually feeds cancer and makes it spread even faster. And that's like vitamins for cancer, any type of sugar that you put in there. So it's just like anything else. I understand that it's turned itself into big business, but, you know, it started out doing a lot of good, still does some good, but there are other organizations out there that do a much better job of donating to causes. And tomorrow's 1 year since my mom passed, so that's definitely heavy on my mind. I'll be donating my 50 cents or whatever I have can afford to the Roy Cancer Foundation. So when you're out there, just take a look at who does good by whom instead of who says they do good by whom. So my final thought, I can't thank Hollywood enough for being on the show. As always, I mean, it should say it like it's not his show. It's his show as much as anybody else's, that's for sure, more his than mine. It's ours, and it's just great to be able to sit back, talk with him, and have a good time, and appreciate the fact that I have somebody as awesome as him in my life. So, beard or no beard, I still love him.
Love you too, bro.
On that, we'll end this badass show for tonight at almost exactly 1 hour. So, motherfuckers, we're out.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
This is going to be one fucked up podcast.
And we've got players now coming up limp.
AP in football. This is a guy who's broken down.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I believe in karma, man.
Seriously?
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on grandpa's old cough medicine?
Oh, Rondo just got ejected.
Seriously?
I'm talking about the pre-intercourse.
There's still maybe some titties.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That was a freak day.